AIG's up for a change.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. We got word just a few minutes ago that American International Group posted its first profit in 7 quarters. The troubled insurer says it made $1.8 billion in the second quarter. Now AIG received tens of billions of dollars in federal bailout money because it was hemorrhaging to the brink of oblivion. The government, read you and I, own 80% of the company. Reporter Mitchell Hartman has more on its crawl out of the bailout hole.
First, a little history. AIG got into risky securities backed by shaky mortgages. It was losing billions on these so-called toxic assets until the government bailed it out last fall. Now, $182 billion in taxpayer money later, AIG appears to be doing fine. Its stock was up as much as 65% earlier this week. Jeffrey Kleintop is chief market strategist at LPL Financial in Boston. He thinks what's happening in part is that AIG's troubled assets are starting to increase in value just a bit as financial markets recover.
Markets have gone from pricing in a Great Depression to merely a typical recession to now a recovery.
But Kleintop says it's not like these assets have gone through a complete detox and are now high-quality investments.
Delinquencies continue to rise, defaults continue to rise, there are foreclosures taking place. So on a lot of those mortgage-backed assets, the fundamentals haven't gotten a whole lot better.
Still, he says, as investor confidence returns, companies like AIG will find a market for their troubled assets, and that'll help their bottom lines. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's check world markets. In Europe, shares are lower right now, less than 1%. In Asia, shares closed mixed today. On Wall Street yesterday, the NASDAQ lost a full percent. The S&P dropped 0.5%. The Dow was off about 24 points to close at 92.56. We're about 40 minutes away from another big unemployment report. The monthly readout from the Labor Department is very important because it feeds into so many other things, such as whether people can afford their mortgage payments, car payments, or just good old-fashioned consumer spending. Let me get a preview of that report from Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson, who joins us live from our bureau in New York. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning, Steve.
So right now we're at 9.5%. What are we expecting from this report today?
Yeah, we're expecting that that number will probably tick up a bit higher, maybe 9.6 or 9.7%. We'll get that in the next hour. That would be the official number. Of course, Steve, many economists think the real number of people out of work is several percent higher than that.
But bottom line today, economists are expecting more job losses for the month of July, right?
Right. And the estimates range from about 275,000 jobs lost in July to about 330,000. Either way, the good news here is we would be continuing a slowdown of job losses. In other words, we're losing fewer this month than last month, which was around 467,000, and fewer last month than the month before. So we're heading in the right direction, but we are still losing jobs, Steve.
Yeah, and Jeremy, what are the estimates for when that'll stop, when the economy will start growing jobs again?
Well, a lot of economists think that the economy as a whole is going to stop losing jobs by the end of the year. Now, the Treasury Secretary had a bit more of a bearish prediction over the weekend, saying he expects the unemployment rate will start to drop in the middle of next year. But just to put all this in context, 9.6% unemployment, if that's what we hit today, is going to be the highest since 1983. But at that time, we went through almost an entire year of unemployment in the double digits. Hopefully that is not on the way for us this time.
All right. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joining us from New York. Jeremy, thanks.
Thank you.
Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Imagine living in a house rent or mortgage free. No property taxes either. The catch? You have to be good with a hammer. Maryland's Historic Home Curator Program looks for elbow grease to pay the way. Kathy Duchamp reports.
Historic is the key word here. You do get a house for life, but you have to renovate it at your own expense. That could be a lot, depending on the condition of the property.
This floor we could save. This one, I mean, we were just sanding and sanding, and it was coming up in clumps in our hands.
That's Bridget Hiske. She's reliving the renovation of the 1880s farmhouse that had become a rundown party pad. Now it's the home where the Hiskies are raising two kids.
It was all bad. My husband called it our own private crack house because it was horrifying. But we loved it. You know, we just said, okay, yeah, we can do this. We were young and had a lot of energy, I guess.
The Hiskies were in their late 20s when they set out to restore this house. It's set in a pasture surrounded by woodlands in a state park outside Baltimore, Maryland. 16 years and $200,000 later.
I really feel like we resurrected something. We brought something back.
There are a handful of historic home curator programs nationwide, most on the East Coast. The goal, to preserve structures on state land at no cost to taxpayers. Bruce Alexander runs Maryland's program. He's a landlord over 43 properties. Alexander says don't apply if your main interest is to live rent-free.
Because first and foremost, the curatorship program is a historic preservation program. It is not a free house program. So when we have proposals, we really gauge people on the basis of their interest and ability in historic preservation.
As part of the application, would-be curators have to submit detailed restoration plans that include budgets. Banks generally don't make construction loans for homes that can't be sold, which might explain the dip in interest Alexander's seen in the program lately.
Perhaps the thought to invest this money in a property that they don't necessarily own at this time isn't maybe something that people are willing to do just yet.
So why did the Hiskies do it?
We have other investments. I'm not saying they're doing great in this market, but, you know, like everybody else, it's swinging. And here, this is just a dream.
A house in the country that if the Hiskies fix and maintain, they can stay in forever. In Woodstock, Maryland, I'm Kathy Duchamp for Marketplace.
Finally, if you haven't been binging enough, Microsoft wants you to get to its site with a new jingle.
Bing.
The company this week announced the winner of a jingle contest that's been running since July. Jonathan Mann will get a $500 American Express card. And negative reviews, the Chicago Tribune reports, have been running 3-1 against the jingle. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.